Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, fixing AWS bills here in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them. Today is July 8th, and I'm leaving San Francisco on my way to New York for the AWS Summit that'll be held there later this week. This episode is sponsored by Influx Data, the creators of InfluxDB. InfluxDB is like Amazon Timestream, except that it has customers because it's not in preview. In addition to being available for sale, it also has become the de facto time series database you probably use if you need a time series database. More about those a bit later, but if you're impatient, you can visit influxdata.com right now. As I mentioned, I will be in New York for the next week for the summit, but also so I can bother people. If you're in New York City and want to catch up or hear me rant about some technology or other to folks in your office, let me know. I'm going to be here all week until Friday. I'm always up to meet with folks who have interesting AWS environments, as well as pass out Billy the Platypus stickers, pins, and drink umbrellas because I have problems. So last week was a little bit of a slow week in terms of AWS service announcements. It turns out that with Reinforce being the week before and one of their largest summits in New York this week, plus last Thursday was the U.S. federal holiday, plus Friday was a lost day due to a combination of hangovers and people who blew their hands clean off, either with fireworks or Amazon's open source Firecracker project, there just wasn't a whole lot of time for releases, but we're going to soldier on and see what we can come up with. This appeared on their stream and then immediately disappeared, so all I have is a headline to go with. U.S. commercial regions now accept Chinese yuan payments from China-based customers, which is interesting. Historically, you've generally wanted to pay in U.S. dollars. And I'm sorry, despite the fact that they are adding currencies to the list of what they'll accept, there's no Bitcoin available for a variety of excellent reasons, namely, they generally tend to do business with grown-ups. API Gateway now supports tag-based access control and tags on WebSocket APIs. Always nice to see enhancements, but I continue to worry about tag-based access control. Historically, tags were just metadata that you could use to sort from out from a billing perspective or figure out who owned something. Now, based upon tag-based access control, this is really becoming something that has security implications, where letting people tag things willy-nilly now has the potential to grant access to things they didn't have access to before. That is a pattern I am certain we will see more about in the coming months. Amazon DocumentDB with MongoDB compatibility now provides cluster deletion protection. That's a fascinating move because now DocumentDB continues to deviate from upstream MongoDB by making it actively harder to lose all of your data by accident. For those wondering what that joke consistently is about, well, consistency is actually the point. Originally, MongoDB had a bit of a reputation for losing data. We are years past the point where that's a real viable concern, but some jokes never die until I'm forced to kill them. Speaking of DocumentDB with MongoDB compatibility, it also now supports stopping and starting clusters. You wouldn't think that that would be something notable to announce, but here we are. For better or worse, we're really seeing a world where features are launched without the ability to do things like stop and start them, or tag them, or telling anyone in the CloudFormation organization that they do in fact exist. It's a bit of a strange launch pattern, and I'm not entirely sure what's behind it, but huzzah, it now does this thing that you would have expected it to do on day one. Amazon's DynamoDB now supports deleting a global secondary index before it finishes building. Historically, if you clicked the Build GSI button, go to lunch because it's going to take a while and you're not going to be able to stop it or delete that index until it completes. Think CloudFormation as it still is today. Now that's something that's a bit more flexible. If you decide midway through you don't want to create that GSI, great, get rid of it, as opposed to forgetting to get rid of it and having it hang around forever. Speaking of DynamoDB, in last week's episode, I mentioned that it supported up to 25 unique items and 4 megabytes of data per transactional request. It's the same announcement this week, only now it applies to the two regions in mainland China. Why would they just not hold that announcement back until it was supported everywhere or bother giving this one its own announcement? Well, those graphs that they show during keynotes of how releases are increasing every year over year don't build themselves. So having to go back to the same pool and get the same announcement in different ways is how they're doing that. You might pick up some bitterness in that. You're right. There is some bitterness on my end. PostgreSQL, or Postgres, or PostgreSQL, or everyone's mad at me for how I pronounce the name of that database, now supports a bunch of new minor versions, including 11.4, 10.9, 9.6.14, 9.5.18, 9.4.23, and now people think I'm rattling off my old high school locker combination. I wish. Amazon Aurora now supports cloning across AWS accounts. This is big because, generally speaking, copying databases between accounts is something that you do for development work, for migrations, for expanding your architecture as things like AWS organizations and Control Tower become a lot more capable. It's going to be interesting to see what patterns this unlocks and exactly how painful this offering is, but we'll get there. Amazon's RDS now supports compatibility checks when you upgrade from MySQL 5.7 to MySQL 8.0 and throws an alarm and tells you that it's not going to work before it breaks during the migration. Always nice to have those guardrails put into place, and of course there's no charge for that. But enough about sad databases for a moment, let's talk about happy databases instead. InfluxDB is obviously the time series database that everyone thinks of when it comes to Influx Data's products, but they've got a lot more than that. They've got Telegraph for metrics collection from systems, they've got Chronograph for visualization, Capacitor for real-time streaming, and yes, while they are provider agnostic, they can of course run all of these things on AWS because that's where everyone's production workloads tend to live. There's no value in only supporting cloud environments that has no customers. What's more is that all these are offered both as open source solutions as well as a hosted SaaS offering. So check them out at influxdata.com and see if you might have a problem that would benefit from a sudden influx of influx. My thanks to them for sponsoring this episode of the AWS Morning Brief. Now I'll get a little bit louder because I'm talking about AWS Amplify, namely its console updates build image with SAM CLI and custom container support. Okay, that's a lot of things to unpack in one particular release, but Amplify, for those sensible people who've never heard of such a thing, is AWS's own JavaScript framework. What that does is it lets you build a bunch of infrastructure in the backend and then get either React or Vue components that you can start using inside your front-end app. It abstracts away most of the infrastructure on the backend, including things like authentication. It takes care of a bunch of database stuff. Storage gets handled for you. And it mostly leverages serverless technology, which is kind of awesome. Now that it supports SAM CLI, which is Amazon's in-house and fairly terrible equivalent to the serverless framework, it winds up building out what it does in a way that you can consume with other things. This feels almost like Amplify starting to spread out beyond just an Amplify-centric ecosystem. And with custom container support, it's not entirely clear what they're envisioning doing with that, but it's definitely a project I've been keeping an eye on. Werner always says in his keynotes that in the future, the only code you will write will be business logic. It's starting to look like that vision is the only code you'll ever write is JavaScript. AWS CodeBuild is now available in the GovCloud East region. Good, good, good. I must have missed it becoming available in the West GovCloud region, and they want to boost that number by one for service releases. I see you, folks. AWS CodeCommit now supports resource tagging, which, wonderful. I think everything should have supported resource tagging years ago, but I'll take coverage where I can get. CodeCommit, for those who are following along at home and don't have a dictionary of AWS services in front of them, is their hosted Git repository service. Picture GitHub without the public-facing environment, a much more enterprise-y feel, but it remains a single vendor that you're already doing business with without having to loop in potentially GitHub Enterprise into your vendor management system. AWS WAF, or WAF, or Web Access Firewall, or Web Application Firewall, depending on who you ask, and AWS Shield Advanced, which is the upgraded version of their anti-DDoS system, are now available in the Paris region, the Central Canadian region, the Mumbai region, and South America. Awesome. Those are all valuable things, and I've got to confess, I didn't realize that there was a region limitation on those, because those things have been around for a while. Good for them. The AWS Industrial Software Competency now brings the next wave of highly qualified, advanced, and premier APN consulting partners with deep specialization in industrial IT. Okay, this is great if you're doing industrial software type of work. Personally, I'm not. Let's not kid ourselves. If you put me in a factory, that's going to have a body count. No one sensible is going to spend any significant amount of time with me near things that can cut metal, lop off various limbs, or cause poisoning across the board. This is an area that I know almost nothing about, and I'm thrilled to give it a little bit of attention, but I admit I have no idea what I'm talking about here. If you're listening to this and you have an industrial software application, please get in touch. I am not hard to find. On Twitter, I'm QuinnyPig, that's Q-U-I-N-N-Y, Pig. Feel free to reach out, my DMs are open. Now to something I know a little bit more about, but not by much, Amazon CloudWatch Application Insights for .NET and SQL Server now has a write-up on their management tooling blog. If you run .NET applications and SQL Server, take a look at it. Amazon's CloudWatch Insights has been interesting and evolving. We're seeing it touching things like logs. They announced it for containers. This is talking about application insights, which speaks to, I guess, a better story around understanding what application workloads you're running. But see what happens there. If that applies to you, I would suggest taking a look at it. CloudWatch seems to be coming out of a bit of a hibernation lately and starting to offer more higher-level differentiated services. Looking forward to seeing what comes out of that group. And the last item is there was a roundup, which is a bit strange to have, although I guess we're halfway through the year, so why not? The security blog posted their top 10 security blog posts in 2019. And I've got to say, I'm a little miffed, because they explicitly say they're not talking about any of the reinforced stuff, and they didn't include any profiles that they ran. In both of those cases, I would have at least had yet another mention there, and let's not kid ourselves. I have an ongoing love affair with the sound of my own voice and seeing my own name in print. I feel like they're just trying to maneuver around giving me too much publicity, which, let's not face it, is extremely intelligent. People don't need to give me more attention. Ask anyone who isn't me. I will say, though, that the security blog is fascinating to me in the fact that it exists, because who cares about security? Ostensibly, everyone. In practice, no one until right after they needed to, as I've mentioned in some of the early episodes of this show. So as a result, there's now a security blog that tries to talk across a wide variety of different areas. But as a result, it's not really serving people who are trying to keep up to date with security announcements like vulnerabilities. It tends to have a lot of discussions with people about what their security architecture looks like, about their path to working at AWS. And I'm not saying it's bad, but I am saying that it's not clearly targeted. This is something historically that AWS seems to have struggled with, as I view it from the outside, where there are so many different blogs you can follow from them and their Twitter feeds and the rest, that it's difficult to start straining the signal from the noise. I always hoped that that would get fixed on its own. I was expecting when I started my newsletter 2 years ago and change for someone to point out the filtered, curated feed so I wouldn't have to continue writing it. And now we're over 2 years in, and it still exists. This isn't a criticism so much as it is a lament. It could be something significantly more than it is, and I'm hopeful that it will be. But right now, AWS is biasing for telling everyone every story that they have, and they've grown too big and they're moving too quickly from an innovation perspective for that to really be sustainable. So that's where I tend to sit. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't. Either way, it's my opinion, and that's all I really have to say about that. I'd like to thank Influx Data for sponsoring this episode. I'd like to thank you for listening, and as mentioned, I will be in New York all of this week. If you are struggling with understanding or reducing your AWS bill, please feel free to get in touch with me. I'm Corey Quinn. This is the AWS Morning Brief.
This has been a Humble Pod production. Stay humble.